Philip, it's great to be here with Marcus Stoop. Marcus is the managing partner at Moog Group.
Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me. Pleasure to see you again.
Absolutely. Yes, so you're now shiny former headquarters here in the south end of Thames.
Fantastic view. Lovely day in London today.
Beautiful, isn't it? Marcus, I wonder if we could just start by saying thank you very much for you've been a big supporter of Golf in the Pack of Dubai. Now we're moving for the first time to Sheikh Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. But I wonder for those people who are unfamiliar with yourself or what the company does, if you can just speak, start by just talking about who you are, your background, how about the company does.
Okay. Good afternoon. Thank you very much. In short form, my name is Marcus Du. I'm one of the owners of Moog Group Recruitment. We started Moog Group 15 years ago on the back of, I come from the printing and packaging industry myself. I've been in it all my life. I went out to Dubai to run a printing company back in 2001. And not long after I got out there, I discovered that there didn't seem to be any specialized recruitment companies for the print or the packaging industry. Anyway, I found a way around it at the time. I was there to do a turnaround and I needed some extra people and some new people. 3 years later, I started my own digital printing business in Dubai, and same challenge again. Very difficult to find the right people for the right, you know, the right budget, the right price, the right experience, and at the right time. Anyway, found a way around it, ended up using some recruitment companies in the UK, I don't want to queue back then. And then in 2009, when the financial crisis hit in the Middle East and around the world, we actually disposed of the printing company we started, and we started Moog Group. Initially as a consultancy business, because I'd been through a financial crisis before, so it was kind of being their senior goblet, but sort of misread the market actually, really, insofar as that I discovered that, and we were Middle East centric and focused at the time, that culturally people don't really like to, back then anyway, wash their dirty clothes in public, so to speak, and wanted to contain their problems and issues. But what they did need, ironically, was talent, experience, talent. And I found myself being asked whether we could look at finding people for their businesses. So we did a bit of a pivot, and ever since 2010, we've been specialising in executive search, the printing and packaging industry. Initially in the GCC, so Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Qatar, Oman, Kuwait, and then very quickly spread into Africa, Southern Europe, Asia Pac, and today we're global. And specialising in the printing and packaging sectors and the entire supply chain. So from packaging departments and brand owners, all the way down through OEMs and material suppliers, and then any sort of creative and brand management type services that exist in that ecosphere. So that's what we do. We're very boutique. We provide a very personal service and love what we do. Every day is different.
Right. So if you look at the kind of levels that you recruit at, would that go to a factory manager level? Is that? And above?
Our main sweet spot is CEO down to sort of junior management level, supervisory junior management level, but with certain customers that we sort of do a lot of work with and look after their whole portfolio. There will be occasions where people will say, oh, can you find us a particularly specialized press operator for this or that? We're starting to see that now more where machines becoming more sophisticated as well. So the requirements of people that have got specific knowledge of certain pre-press or MIS or ERP or workflow solutions that are sitting around the equipment, the operators are now starting to become more than just operators. So we're starting to see a move in that direction, and we're catering for that market as well.
Right, great. So if you look at the labels as the printing sector here, Saudi Arabia. How do you see that market? How do you see that market growing? And you think that in particular the Saudi Vision 2030 program right, have a major impact, did it think in mind?
Yes, I mean, interesting when you asked that question about the Division 2030, I actually looked up, I wanted to be sure because I read various snippets about what it is and what it comprises of, and I thought, ahead of this podcast, let's make sure that we're actually precise. And there are three main areas to Vision 2030, which are a vibrant society, a thriving economy, and an ambitious nation. And those then drill down to lots of different aspects. But if you just take those three headlines, I mean, if we see the changes that have been made in society, things like women being able to drive, all the cultural things that have been introduced, like sporting events and entertainment and concerts and all these sorts of things, they're opening the economy up, they're bringing in business and all the support networks that go with it. So if you run a Grand Prix, for instance, and a whole load of teams turn up and drive cars around the track, funnily enough, that affects packaging and print in a very constructive way. So does opening cinemas, so does selling more cars. All these different things are definitely contributing, and that's aside from major developments in infrastructure. There are huge developments all over. NEOM, famously, the line we were just talking about. But wherever you stimulate economy, wherever you create demand for people, then people consume packaged goods, and print and package and all the supportive industries are growing as well. So yes, I would say definitely the Vision 2030 is helping to stimulate what.
Yeah, and I think that from what we've seen, a bit reading about the program is that it's also about import substitution. So they want to, you know, because a whole swathe of consumer and industrial goods, they want to bring that production into the country rather than be importing finished and already packaged goods. Putting the outside.
Yes, one of our clients actually did say to us, which is a major brand in the kingdom that's grown over the last few years. I'm not sure how official this is, but I can certainly understand the motives behind it. They mentioned the word I heard it first only last week, which was food security. We're living in a region where food security should be taken for granted, I think. And to produce, for a nation to be able to produce its own food, we focused on that here back 60, 70 years ago when it became questionable whether our country had food security. And so brands that are growing, brands that are designed to give food security, to homegrown brands in packaging, is onshoring it, if you like, from a food security point of view, and also being able to customize it and develop products and diversification on those products tailored for the local market in terms of seasoning, flavorings, ingredients, and also respect to different ways of things being prepared. And with population growth as well, if you have a very, very small population, it's difficult to create a bespoke brand, a food item. Maybe the economies of scale are not there. If it's only a very small population, let's say the country only had 500 million people. But as soon as you're a country that's up to the population size that Saudi Arabia is, now it starts to support people creating their own brands rather than maybe 30 or 40 years ago, they were always being imported because there wasn't enough local consumption to make it stack up. And that has definitely changed. And a client of ours in Africa pointed out to me once also that what local brands have to then imitate overseas brands and major multinational brands to have the same degree of credibility, that it's not seen as being a poor relation, because lots of consumers nowadays want the fashion that goes with it or the kudos that goes with buying that product. So they don't want to think, well, if I buy the local brand, it will be seen as being cheap and not as significant and that sort of thing. So emphasis goes on to the packaging and the packaging creativity, the design, the production, the way it sits on the shelf has to be, the local brand has to be the same standard as the major international brand as well.
Right, right. I was reading the consultancy report recently that's saying that's like someone's keeping pushing the development of digital printing for consumer centric or perhaps some, you know, to promote to certain religious festivals, holidays, or it's kind of branded, personalized Western. Actually, in a wealthy society where you've got a great levels of disposable income, that's
sure. Yeah, I mean, for the same reasons we see it here, there's a novelty factor to having a bar of chocolate with your name on it as a gift item or something that you have for yourself. And there's also versioning, where you might use images which are centric to different parts of the country, or featuring images. Perhaps you might, if the products are going to be sold in Riyadh, you might have certain images that are Riyadh-led, but you might have ones that are Jeddah-led on the West Coast. And that's what you think. You might have things that when you're using digital for testing a short batch manufacture of a certain product, where you're stretching the brand for its talks. And for example, let's say you're doing flavored hummus, for example, and you want to test the market with a certain flavor of hummus, chili hummus, for example, then it might not warrant being able to produce it in an analog sort of way, but by using a digital process for small batches, immediately the market can be tested in an economic fashion. Also, for artisanal brands, so small manufacturers, small artisanal brands that want to get bigger, but can't necessarily justify 50,000 labels, for example, because they don't even know whether they're going to sell 50,000 products at the moment. But 5,000, they're pretty confident that they will. So they may choose digital process for that.
Great. And I think that as the volume of locally produced packaging increases with onshoring, with development of that, brands, in terms of finding the right staff for the printing company or for packaging converter, what are the main challenges for Saudi goods companies finding the right level of skilled staff?
Well, the main challenges are that because of the nature of the way the industry works, so firstly, you'll see that a large amount of the production type of people employed in the business will often be expats. If we take Saudi as an example, what we see is that you'll often see a lot of Saudi locals employed in the administrative side of the business. And sales. So they might be in HR, they might be in management, they might be in sales, some QC and QA. But the more production side of it will be often expat driven. And because of rules in the country, you can only work in the country if you have the right visas and you've got the right certificates and educational supporting qualifications to get a visa for that job. If you're not employed, you then don't have those visas and you're not in the country. You're not just languishing around waiting for someone to come along and see if you want to work. So our experience is that when people want to expand, they either have to try to see if they can take people from other people, other companies, or they need to bring them in from outside. And given that the market is generally speaking, in an expansion mode, it's not contracting, it's expanding. There's always pressure on the local market for good people, if they're available locally. And if not, they need to be brought in from outside.
Okay, right. And I suppose same question for strong-based companies, rubber-based suppliers. Are they looking to employ Saudi nationals more or expats?
Again, it will depend very much on the it will depend very much on the company to start with, because all companies have Saudiization, which they need to adhere to for the benefit of our audience. If anyone doesn't know what Saudiization is, it's a certain proportion of your workforce have to be made up of Saudi locals. It's something that we've seen across the GCC in most countries. So companies need to meet their quota. So you will always find that companies will be looking to hire Saudi locals wherever they can to maintain that. And specifically in certain roles, I gave an example of human resourcing, for instance. It often helps if you have Saudis in human resourcing because it helps with all the paperwork side of things and knowing how to work things through ministries and get visas and the laws that have to be adhered to. I think the most convenient and cheapest option for most employers, whether they're local companies or international companies, is to employ from the local market, if you can. Visa restrictions mean that people can't always change jobs just as they choose. There are laws that they have to follow there. They're a lot more relaxed now than they used to be. It used to be quite awkward for people to move from one employer to another. I think the countries recognise that and sees that as a way of fueling growth. So they've made it more flexible. But even so, there are still rules. So also people will want to make sure, because a lot of their life works around their work and their home and their families. If they've moved to a country, that's a big step. You want consistency and continuity. So people will be anxious about making sure that when they transfer from one employer to another, that they choose the right one, that the people are you go to pay their salaries, that the business is strong, and that they're not going to be regressing making the move. Because without your job and without your visa and lots of other interdependent things about living in the kingdom, and a lot of Gulf countries would then make it mean that you might have to leave the country because you wouldn't have that job to support all those other things and the legislation that goes with it.
Right. So if I'm a printer or converter looking to move and set up an operation in Saudi, you've explained very well about the issues and difficult challenges of working at recruiting statutory level, manager level, and above. What about the how the generally of jobs feel at the center kind of workbench level, factory systems, packing boxes, or the system press operator, or these sort of things? I know you don't directly deal, but do you have any views on that labor situation?
Moodgroup doesn't cater for that part of the market, but my understanding is that there are specialised manpower agencies in the kingdom and in countries that have typically in the past provided that sort of labour, either coming from India or Sri Lanka or Pakistan or Bangladesh or the Philippines. And quite often what will happen is that one of the management team will visit that country on an appointment basis, where interviews have been lined up in advance for them to come in and do batch interviews for those sorts of laborers, as it were, press operators, bench workers, that type of thing.
Right. Great. And really, I suppose just a final mark. So, in terms of why you're there at the show, and what do you really expect to gain from the show? What do you expect to see at the show? What are your objectives to come for being at GPP in Saudi Arabia? How do you think it'll really kind of help boost the sort of prospects of both companies looking for employees and employees looking to be employed in Saudi?
We're very excited to go to the show because, as we all know, it's a new show, a very successful show in Dubai, where it's run for many years. I think it's a sign, a clear sign, that Informa have decided to put the show on in Saudi Arabia, that everybody recognises the growth in the market and the potential in the market. We talked earlier on about food security and growth in packaging, but the other side of the coin as well is that there's a growth in population, And with this growth in population, that's making demand for packaged products grow as well. So the whole packaging industry, I think, recognizes that there's a lot going on there. There are people coming into the market from around in the surrounding region. We know of companies in Dubai that have made acquisitions in Saudi Arabia in the packaging industry, or are setting up branch offices and that sort of thing. All the initiatives in the kingdom are definitely indicating that it's a hotspot at the moment. Years ago, if I said to a candidate, I've got a job for you in Dubai, or I've got a job for you in Saudi Arabia, candidates were harder to get to Saudi Arabia for a number of reasons, not just for them as well, but for their families. It was sometimes considered more difficult for some Western families to live in Saudi Arabia, whereas that's seemingly now all changed. Saudi Arabia is a hotspot, it's fashionable. Everywhere we look, here in London, I go into the Lego store and I see Lego models with neon on them, and you see advertising everywhere. It's very in vogue at the moment. There's a lot happening there. We're excited to be there. We're excited to see catch up with customers. We have a lot of customers in the kingdom. We've worked there extensively for the last 15 years, so we've been supporting a lot of packaging companies. And we're looking forward to sitting down and catching up with them. Candidates. We have a lot of candidates in the kingdom that we've either placed or we're working there. Chance to touch base with them and sit down and have a coffee. Chance to spend some time in the kingdom as well for a couple of days after the show. Before the show, we'll be seeing some clients and see prospects. And then what turns up? You know, we go to shows, and there's always something unexpected. Somebody passes by that you've never even met before. You've got an idea. I've always said that packaging companies are about people. Anybody can buy a building and put machines in it and have a vision and an idea for a business, but it's people that make that happen. It's people that are the glue. It's people that make one company prosper better than another. And we're in the people business. We're in the business of understanding what our clients want. We know their markets. We know what they do. We know what their business objectives are. And then on the other side of the equation, we have very talented people. We understand their truth and value. We know how they can be beneficial to that business or that business, the values that they bring. And I just love bringing those two together. So being at the show, hearing conversations from either side and thinking, right, yeah, I've just the person for you there, or I know just the person looking for you there, it's going to be wonderful.
I think that one of the big trends that we see globally, and at the label expert recently, is a rise and rise of not just digital printing, but digital workflows. And so do you think that this is something we should go to impact the printing industry and trends that we've seen at show reacting?
Yes. Without a doubt. I mean, you're right. Drupal was said to be the digital Drupal, wasn't it? And it was evident that there's a sort of an integration, I suppose, there's always been an integration, but an even greater integration between MIS, ERP, workflows, pre-press, machines that are driven digitally. People want to be able to track ROI. So the digital process and understanding from estimate through to actual, making sure you're getting the most uptime on your machines and that every production hour is sold, the ROI is there for shareholders, means that I think certainly a lot of operators are going to sit amidst all of that. And suddenly we've gone from, and also all the machines need to talk to each other. So finishing and pre-press and press and the whole environment needs to be connected. People need to understand where they sit in that ecosystem, how they work, that it's no longer an industry that necessarily sits in a factory. It can be in an office, in a city, doesn't have to be in an industrial zone. And The likelihood is that we're going to see people that are coming out of university or graphic design or marketing and communications who are getting how all of this works, being trained in that, needing to know how to do it. I see it as being, thankfully, I have to say, an equal opportunity business in terms of in the past. It might have been in certain parts of the world, sure, a very male-dominated production environment, whereas now with digital processes and machines being run digitally, there is no requirement for any emphasis one way or another. And also leaves the door open for other diversity as well. People perhaps that don't have the same degree of mobility, we're not rushing around feeding paper into the back of a speed blaster anymore. You know, things are working in different ways. So more people can come into the workforce from a slightly different background, not so much the apprenticeship-led, craft-based skills sort of. We're talking more about technology, IT, art and design, pre-press, creativity, and also businesses that are born out of different generators. Take, for example, I'm just thinking outside of the box, take the Moonpig concept for greeting cards. You know, there was a business that somebody thought about creating business club greeting cards that could be customized. Now, how do I do it? Oh, now I'm in the digital print business. But the driver there wasn't to be a digital printer. The driver there was to provide personalized greeting cards, where in the past they haven't been possible because you had to reduce 5,000 cards to make it worthwhile. Now you can do one. I think we're going to see digital and digital printing and digital packaging and 3D printing being very disruptive in all sorts of ways to do with marketing and communications. And people will be coming from different backgrounds to do that. There'll be dreamers, there'll be disruptors, there'll be thinkers, there'll be marketeers, there'll be people that are building brands using with technology and software to allow that to happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think trends that we're picking up on, web to print has been with us for a while now. The idea that you have a couple of automated front end, anybody can access it. I'm now hearing about web to pack.
Yes.
You know, with the digital finish, you put the digital measurement equipment. Is that something which you've...
Yes. And funnily enough, I was talking to an old ex-colleague of mine. Well, we were messaging each other and talking about a business that he's been involved in, which is packing of perfumes. They have a facility where they'll package perfumes on demand into bottles and then send them off. And as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, you know, you can land on a website, you can order the perfume, you can put your name on it, personalize it for an occasion or whatever. And that whole ecosystem in terms of printing of that packaging, the perfume being put in the bottle, the bottle being put into the box, then going into distribution, it's all driven digitally. It's all driven by the person that places that linker.
Mm.
Your delivery address, your name, all the content, how many you want, can all flow through that system electronically. No hands need to touch it until perhaps right at the end.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? And I think another final sit on that, where AI might fit into that scenario. Talked to a few suppliers of Drupa, and again, about the web to print or web to pack, that increasing the amounts of information per disposal person with no print skills who's facing that order in terms of walking through the possibilities, presenting you possibilities, creating possibilities, then that be automatic people through tree flight, it said to automatically production. Do you think AI is this something you've been hearing about?
Well, we use AI a lot in our business, in certain parts of it to improve productivity and to improve to a greater value. I won't bore you with all the details of what we do, but we're certainly embracing it. And as a business, we always lean into anything new that we can about that. I think back, say 10 or 15 years ago, there were no such things as social media managers, but now we have social media managers in business. So it's with AI, I'm also fascinated about all the jobs that perhaps will be created, not jobs that are being taken away, but jobs that will be created because of AI, maybe harnessing AI in different ways and things that we haven't thought of yet. Doomsday type people sort of look at AI as, oh no, it's going to take jobs away or it's going, it's detrimental in some way. I prefer to look at it as to how can we use this to our benefit. Scaling businesses is one way of doing it. Providing higher quality services or better value services because you're leaving that to the AI, so the people that are in the customer facing role, for instance, can actually deliver true valuable services because the basic stuff can be answered by the bots, for example. Things like that. I'm fascinated by it. I genuinely think that the printing and packaging industry and brands and all to do with it. Because we haven't even touched on things like the Internet of Things and smart packaging for pharmaceuticals and things like that. It's more exciting now than it's ever been. It's an amazing time to be in the printing and packaging industry. And for the purpose of our previous conversation, Saudi Arabia is, I think the initiatives there is just taking the lid off them. But I think we're going to see lots of companies getting bigger than they are, prospering, new types of businesses, doing new sorts of things with the initiatives for culture and tourism and property development and things like that, where print, AI, packaging, they all cut together.
Has to. Well, it's one of the main themes of the Vision 2030. Program is not just a fact, what we call ourselves, they choose chemicals, just a fact for governments. It's also building things in a more sustainable way. You know, see a whole new model since new city, it's being built, new obsidian. Perhaps you can just sort of give us some of your thoughts about how you think the sustainability is going to impact in an event like GPP in Saudi Arabia.
We think that sustainability across the whole world is enormously important, and nobody could deny that whatsoever. If we focus on the area of business that we're involved in, which is in print and packaging, for starters, about 9 months ago, we launched an initiative under Mood Group called Mood Etc., which was, we're aware of the fact that we're part of the conversation around sustainability. Education, qualifications, people understanding what they've got to do. So we start with the end goal. We want to get to net zero. We understand why we want to get to net zero, because we can't have the world's temperature increasing. And distilling it down and keeping it very simple, working back from that, avoiding polluter pays type situations where people are having to unwind a situation. In Saudi Arabia, we can see initiatives that have been taken, like other parts of the Middle East, where starting from a blank sheet of paper, they're saying things like, right, that whole city is only going to be zero and is only going to be green. So you have to start that way rather than try to repair and go backwards. What we're seeing is that people get it and want it, but don't know where to go, or that we're saying to candidates, you need to get match fit. You need to understand about it. You need to get yourself qualified. You need to push yourself into the organization and say, you know, I'm interested in this, or develop initiatives, because this is like a mini industrial revolution. This is a new thing. We're just as you have a sales director and a finance director, now we must have sustainability directors. And in certain parts of the world, those are very well-established themes now. But it's fair to say that in certain emerging territories and certain geographies we work in,
there's either no legislation, there's no real consumer pressure, or there's a price issue with it's so sensitive that people won't do sustainable things for fear of putting a price up. But as soon as legislation moves in a certain direction or consumers push more, then I can see overnight certain companies and printing the packaging industry having to come into line a lot faster, having to be able to demonstrate. And that will start with one of their major customers walking in and saying, unless you can demonstrate, we're taking our business away. And so they need, as an organization, to start looking at it, to be able to demonstrate that. They need to be able to go back to their material suppliers, their OEMs, look at their own practices for waste disposal, jet energy, et cetera, and have an understanding of it and be able to demonstrate to their customers they are the ones standing there. And there will be a call for more of those sorts of people with those talents and that knowledge and experience. So Mood Etc. is about talking to HR directors about it, having been in conversation with academia as well. We have a partnership with Sheffield Hallam University, who run packaging and sustainability courses, and you can get qualifications in it. I think we're going to see more of that around the world. And it's going to be an integral part of every business. I mean, I expect things like MIS systems to calculate a job and calculate the carbon footprint of a job at the same time. Yes, Saudi Arabia are, from what we can understand, leading in certain parts of the country and with certain sectors, saying sustainability has to be built into your business.
Yeah, see, actually, you know, what we're hearing is that there's a Blair filter, so you want to be allowing. So they're going to work back through the packaging chain to decide how to do it. Are you using modern material? But first, it could be separated, still to be recovered. So this could revolutionize a whole kind of packaging specification chain already.
Definitely. And the opportunity to say, we understand about it, we know what to do, will be a differentiator. So converters that can do it and have the right people will start winning business, whereas those that don't won't.
Right.
And then, like every situation like this, we'll have those that fall by the wayside and those that embrace build it into their business well done.
Thank you, Mark. That's extremely interesting to catch up with you. I look forward to seeing you again in January in GPP 2025.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much, Andy.
Thank you.